Digest Radio.
I gotta learn more about politics. I hear about fundraisers where it's $1,000 a plate. Wow, $1,000 a plate. I would have to send the food back, just out of the principle of the thing. Excuse me, please, just take this away. Is there a problem with your meal, sir? Well, it's good. It just ain't $1,000 good.
Strategist Radio.
Raw and real. No crap. No fluff. No hype. Just pure strategic pleasure from his playbook to yours. Love, affection, and looking out for you. Live from the Trinity WebWorks Business Radio Studios on the Trinity Broadcast Network. The Strategist Radio Live with your Italian ace in the hole, TJ Marino.
Moon shuttle conductor.
Injecting you with the business domination vaccine.
Keep saying that. Are you a doctor, aren't you?
Rendering your competitors to their knees.
It won't hurt a bit.
Yes, it will.
The Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino.
Babies, here we go. 6:02 on the West Coast. This time for your Thursday. It's June 4th, 2015. And it's Strategist Radio Live. Education is what remains after one has forgotten what one has learned in school, according to Albert Einstein. Gandhi once said, live as if you were to die tomorrow. Learn as if you were to live forever. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the program. Today we talk about marketing strategy, how to write an irresistible email subject line. If you can't get them with the subject line, you ain't going to get them at all. We'll talk about how you can make that subject line pop and get that recipient to take an action. We'll also check in with Howard Schultz on innovation. You know who he is. Come on, Starbucks CEO, the one, the only Howard Schultz. Chimes in and talks about innovation. It explains how Starbucks and how you can rediscover the entrepreneurial spirit in your business. And we'll also check in with Harvard's own Dr. Michael Porter. That's right, my mentor. And the Dean of Rotman School of Management and author Roger Martin will share their keen insights about the importance of choice. All ahead on this edition of Strategist Radio Live. In a minute, too, I'm going to share something with you that's really kind of cool, and I'm actually going to post it up on Google Plus in my feed for today's program. It's an infographic, but it's quite fascinating. An amazing study that was conducted. I want to thank our friends over at Entrepreneur. I'll share that with you in just a second. If we're not connected on Google Plus, here's how we do it. It's real simple. We got a redirect for you. It's just tjmarino.com/lowercase g and the plus sign, all right? And then you'll get in on the feed. All right, now, last 2 days, we had a technological conundrum. That's right, something with our SAN drive on our server just melted. And so it took us about 2 days to get it fixed. I mean, it was on and off, and they got it fixed right away. I mean, our techs are just amazing, our level 3 admin. However, you still have to test, so it was intermittent. So we went ahead and hiatus the program both yesterday and on Tuesday. So Tuesday and Wednesday, we were dark, and I apologize for not getting out to you right away on that. Sean, who handles our tech here at Trinity WebWorks, is on vacation. He deserves it. I mean, he and his family need to get out and up camping, just having an absolute ball. But it's just, you know, I notice how that happens, you know, that the people, the managers of the department, they're gone. And so what ends up happening, and you've probably faced this too, right? Things don't always go wrong at the most opportune times. But the good news is it got me back in the saddle. You know, I felt good that I could help Sean. I was frustrated that it was taking so long, but, you know, that's because we have clients and we host many across the globe. And so everybody was dark. So what do you do in that situation? All you can do is apologize, but that's technology, and we have to almost expect it. And it comes down to choice and how we deal with these things. And in a few minutes, I'll share a piece from my mentor, Dr. Michael Porter. I've talked about Dr. Porter many times, Harvard Business School. And then also Michael will be joining Roger Martin. It's just a short piece. It's on the importance of choice. And in a few minutes, too, a big treat for you today, Howard Schultz on innovation. But I want to talk about what happens before we talk about writing this irresistible email subject line. What happens to our brain when we don't sleep? When the brain does not go night-night, what happens? Well, here's some of the things that's happening. And I'm going to go through all of this because, like I said, I'm going to post the infographic up in the Google Plus feed. You can take a look at it, download it, and share it. Number one, lost memories. Now, in some people's lives, lost memories can be good. The problem is you can't select which memory you're going to lose. That's the problem. See, wouldn't it be great if we could just tweak and say, well, I'd like to forget all the stupid stuff I've done. But even the stupid stuff we've done, we learn from. So it's called the hippocampus. And the hippocampus is a moon-shaped structure in the temporal lobe. And what it does is has this distinct pattern of neural activity when the waking mind learns new information. Scientists believe our brain later replays the same activity pattern while we're sleeping to help the info stick. So if you lose sleep, you lose long-term memory. False memories, well, we don't remember it specifically as it was. Sleep-starved brain may fail to encode memory successfully in the first place, and thanks to the altered function in, again, the hippocampus, as well as the prefrontal cortex and the perineal lobe regions. Now, one study found that people are more likely to incorporate misinformation into memories of events observed after a night without sleep. How about anger? What happens when your brain doesn't sleep? You get angry. Emotional volatility may partly be a product of interrupted communications between the brain's regions. And so what ends up happening is sleep deprivation cuts this connection, letting you get yourself all revved up, and then your mood starts to run wild, and this is where we start to get angry. Your mind starts to shrink when you don't sleep. I'll bet you didn't know that one. Researchers don't yet understand if sleep loss causes complete shrinkage or maybe even vice versa, but healthy adults getting poor sleep lose volume in the frontal, temporal, and perineal lobes, one study had shown. Impairing your wit. You know how you're quick? You got the quick comebacks, you got the jokes, you're rolling with the flow, you're in the zone. Lack of sleep impairs your wit. Chronic binges. You eat too much, you sleep too much. You start, you know, losing the ability to say, okay, my judgment is dulled, and so I'm going to eat 3.5 pounds of bacon. Raw. Okay, maybe not raw, but cooked. Hallucinations, there's another one. You can get hallucinations when you don't get enough sleep. You can make risky decisions. When sleep-deprived people prepare to make economic decisions, the brain's reward center in the prefrontal cortex lights up, suggesting they expect to win, make money, win the race, et cetera, achieve their goals, solve their problems, satisfy their need. But when risky choices don't pan out, people's brain's activity starts to decrease in the region related to punishment and aversion. And so what ends up happening is things get flip-flopped. Your head can wind up in the clouds. How many times does that happen when you've been sleep-deprived? We all lose focus now and then. But brain activity linked to attention lapses changes when people sacrifice sleep. After a good night's rest, these lapses correspond to altered different like thalamus function and less active frontal and parietal networks, which basically means we tune out when we get bored. And this is where we start to get that haziness in the course of our day. We just don't feel right. And then, of course, also there's potential brain damage. Add all-nighters to the list of things that kill brain cells. In this case, the brain stem, the damage may be irreparable, making catching up on lost sleep a poor excuse for snoozing till noon on the weekends. So there's some information. I know there's a ton of it out there. I thought it was nice because they kind of compiled it into one infographic that you can kind of look at and remind yourself the next time you think, well, maybe I'll just spend, you know, a little extra time not sleeping. And these could be the ramifications. Thank you, Entrepreneur
Radio.
It's 6:10 right now. We got a lot to cover on this program today. We only get in this thing 30 minutes in, and we're out. So a lot to cover in a 30-minute window, Monday through Friday from 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific Time live. You can get all the details on the hub at tjmarino.com. Also, after each live airing of Strategist Radio Live Monday through Friday, we turn it into a podcast, and we make it available for you for free. All the archives are found on the hub at tjmarino.com. Here's what's on tap for tomorrow as we round out this week for our Friday. It's Book Marketing Strategy, How to Grow Your Online Book Business. All ahead this week on Strategist Radio Live. All right. You know, success breeds success. And so I watch the influencers. And one major league influencer I'm just so proud of and amazed by on a variety of levels. Howard Schultz, Starbucks CEO, right? Talks about innovation. One of the things I'm studying right now in my doc studies as I'm going through working towards my doctorate, which I should have complete, knock on wood, by August of next year once I get my doc study completed and approved. Okay, so we're really zeroing in at my level of entrepreneurship in the doctoral program, and really a lot of focus is being placed on innovation. I wanted to share this with you today because Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz defines innovation, and he also explains how Starbucks has rediscovered the entrepreneurial spirit. And if you listen carefully, you can see, I think, specifically how this can help you and your upcoming endeavors. Howard Schultz.
Onward, it's not just a random title dreamt up by your publisher to try and get you to number one. It's a word that has huge significance and history. Tell us about the word.
Well, I said that I've written hundreds of memos over the last 30 years, and somehow in the earliest memos that I began to write, I signed the letters Onward, comma, Howard. And I can't remember exactly what prompted that word in the mid-80s, but it certainly became a signature component to the memos I've written. And it was a fitting, I think, way in which to tell the story. It's also a word about progress and looking forward. And I think what I've tried to frame in the book is the following, is that any company, small or large, consumer or otherwise, that is going to embrace the status quo as an operating principle, I think is just going to be dead. And the book really is about transforming the company during the worst financial crisis, but also admitting self-induced mistakes. But it's also an understanding of the importance of the company recapturing its entrepreneurial DNA. And specifically what I would say is that we're living at a time where there's such significant changes to consumer behavior. And as a result of that, the need for constant innovation and pushing forward has never been greater than it is today. And every company, I think, must have the ability and the discipline to really be curious and look around the corners to see things and anticipate things that other people don't see. But that's not enough. You must then have the courage to go after those things. Not bet the company on them, but execute the kind of courage that says we are going to take a big swing. When we were on this magical carpet ride and everything was great, we had convinced ourselves that we were innovating. And we were convinced ourselves because things were working so well. But the truth was we were not innovating. We were creating line extensions. And line extensions is not innovation. Innovation is creating disruptive events in the minds, hearts, and consciousness of the marketplace. Disruptive events that have value. Whether it's what Apple has done, You know, there's so many examples of people who have created innovative products and services in the marketplace. Now, a great example of that is that we discovered a $24 billion category within coffee that had not had any innovation for 50 years and dominated by one company. And this was the instant coffee business. Now, when we said internally that we were going to go into the instant coffee business, you would have thought that we were, you know, literally selling our soul to the devil. Because people assumed right away that we would do it the way it had been done before. And the truth was, we were never going to get into the instant coffee business unless we could crack the code and literally replicate the taste of a Starbucks brewed cup of coffee in an instant form. And once we did that, we realized that we could completely change the game. We've now introduced Via, obviously in the UK, in the US, Canada, Japan, the Philippines, most recently in China. And this will be a $1 billion business for Starbucks within a number of years. And I also think it's another example of rekindling and reminding the organization of the need not to go off and do things because no one's done it before, but having the curiosity, the courage, and the executional prowess to take the road less traveled. And it was another example of tremendously building excitement and pride inside the company when for years we were not innovating at all. And so, I go back to saying that you must have a pipeline of real innovation. You must challenge the status quo. And I would also say that innovation is not only consumer-facing initiatives. Innovation is the things that you can do internally that create value, excitement, and obviously attachment with your people.
Strategist Radio.
Strategist Radio Thursday. Good stuff. Wow. Howard Schultz on innovation. Talk about how to write an irresistible email subject line in a moment. But first, let's check in with Harvard's very own, my mentor, Dr. Michael Porter, and the Dean of Rotman School of Management and author, Roger Martin, as they share their keen and quite relevant insights on the importance of choice.
To not make choices that at least I hear a lot is sort of the excuse that sort of comes from maybe the more high-tech kind of world, which is it's all emergent. You can't figure out what direction the world is going. So, yes, Mike Porter says you should figure out where to position yourself in your industry, but it's all changing so fast that that's a waste of time, and you should just kind of go with the flow and figure it out on the fly. I hear that a lot. I don't know if you hear that that a lot.
I hear it. I hear it. A fair amount. What's the most valuable company in the world?
Apple.
Apple personifies choice.
Yeah.
And that's why they're the most valuable company in the world, because they. And, look at how many, years and decades, Jobs was pounded, for, being crazy, because he was making had this clarity of purpose and understood that it was about design and it was about, engaging with the consumer and kind of rethinking, meeting some fundamental needs in a different way. I think that there are, when you have an entirely new field, like social media or something like that, there's going to be a lot of experimentation. There'll be a lot of mistakes made. There'll be a lot of things where you're going to learning by doing. What I've found in general is a company has to have some hazy, if not clear, has to have at least some understanding about how they're going to deliver something unique at the end of the day that kind of guides them through this process of experimentation. That very few companies, certainly in more emergent fields, figure out a strategy on day one. They don't quite get, they don't know how the story is ultimately going to play out, but they have this insight, that there's something that we're going to do that, you know, we can't find anybody else doing. And if we can figure out how to do that really, really well and keep learning how to do it well and keep fine-tuning and adjusting and improving, then at the end of the day, we'll actually deliver something different. I think that's the nature of the problem. So I don't want to make it... So I think, in a sense, you can't have a rigid idea of strategy that's something that you do up front and then you slavishly implement it. That's not the way it works. I mean, Henry Mintzberg's work, you know, had this emergent strategy notion. There was an important grain of truth there, that there is a continuous learning process, both because you didn't figure it out and because things change. That said, at the end of the day, what makes a company distinctive is some trade-offs or choices it chooses to make, often maybe intuitively. Another thing I say is strategy is ultimately you got to place a bet. You know, you just can't hedge against all potential futures, because if you do, you'll never ultimately be truly successful. So that's uncomfortable. So for those that don't want to make a bet and that just want to hedge, I think their highest and best purpose will be mediocrity, maybe, and survival. But, you know, those that want to create truly enduring value for customers and truly unique companies, I think ultimately are the people who have that sense of what they want to do.
Strategist Radio.
Strategist Radio, how you doing today? Welcome to your Thursday, 22 past 6 in the a.m. here on the West Coast, broadcasting live from the Reed Opera House. You can Google it. It's amazing. R-E-E-D Opera House. What a blessing to be here. One of my mentors, one of my heroes, Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, lectured right here in this building. Another amazing human being. Campaigned here, Susan B. Anthony. So many have traveled through this building, the Reed Opera House. Check it out online. We broadcast from here live every single day, Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. Pacific time. And you can get all the details at tjmoreno.com. There's the hub. Marketing strategy, how to write an irresistible email subject line. Email marketing remains an essential marketing communication channel for today's smartest small and large businesses. With so much sight and sound pollution hitting email inboxes at rocket speed, it's no wonder that your email messages are being tossed or missed, purposely ignored. In order to effectively increase positive response results from your next email marketing campaign, your subject line better be distinctly spot on. So how do we go about doing that? Spot on. How do we get people to open those emails? They don't open, it's done. So let's talk about some subject lines. Here's 40 email subject lines and keywords to test with your own subscribers. This is not the end all. These are ideas. These are some that have worked, and this is based on some statistics that are put together by MailChimp, part of their analysis. Analysis of over 40 million emails, the 10 most effective. I mean, 60 to 87% open rate subject lines were, get ready to jot these down. If you miss any of them, you can come back to the podcast later after the live airing and help yourself at tjmoreno.com to today's show. And re-listen to it, download it as many times as you like. Number one, the business name. You always put the name of the business of the individual. Business name, sales and marketing newsletter. So if it was Bill's Boutique, Bill's Shoes, sales and marketing newsletter. Bill Johnson, sales and marketing newsletter. You get it. Number two, eye on business name again. Bill's Shoes, update, October through November. Might be business name. Staff shirts and photos. Business name. May 2005 news bulletin. Business name. Newsletter. That'd be your business name. Newsletter. One that we use. February 2015. Business name. Newsletter. January 2015. And then put their first and last name of the recipient. Right there in the subject line. That's the first thing they see. Here's another one. Business name and business name invite you. Might be two companies collaborating. These are the top 10 most effective of the 40. So keep paying attention. Happy holidays from business name. Attention, business name staff. Attention, business name, West Coast Staff. Okay? Those are the top leaders. Now, here's 10 sub. Now, Digital Marketer went out and analyzed 125 million emails they sent in 2014 to determine which ones performed best. Here's the top 10 subject lines. How and why to calculate average customer value. Urgent, in brackets. You've got one day to watch this. Check out my new man cave, PICS, in bracket. PICS, capitals, P-I-C-S, PICS. 212 blog post ideas. A native ad in 60 minutes or less. Is the hottest career in marketing? Your seven-figure plan goes bye-bye at midnight. Steal these email templates. The Facebook slap is coming. And finally, big bold letters, all caps, in brackets, weekend only, and then sentence case, get this now before it's gone. Alchemy Works analyzed 21 billion emails by 2,500 brands to find out the top performing keywords using email subject lines. Here's the top five. Top five words. Upgrade, just, content, go, and wonderful. So elements to test in your own emails, why not try including one of these five words in your subject line? Other keywords they found effective in various industries included the word several, sleeps, and important. In an analysis of over 2.2 billion emails done by Adestra, it looked at which keywords were most effective across a variety of industries. The following were the top eight keywords according to their research. Here they are. Free delivery. Available. New. Alert. News. Update. Summer and weekend. Emails to test in your own emails, according to the report. While content marketing is the it topic this year, content marketing keywords perform poorly due to oversaturation in the marketplace. So the recommendation is to, again, test and consider these keywords because these are the ones that are working. Also, they looked at 24.6 billion emails sent. Alchemy Works, again, most effective keywords relative to open rates were jokes, promotional, congratulations, revision, forecast, snapshot, token, and voluntary. These are actually the words that got the emails popping. Final thoughts. Above all, keep in mind that what works for one business audience may not work for the next. This is why we're always testing and we're always measuring. A-B split testing. Send one message one way, subject line to half your audience, your recipients, and maybe a different subject line, and see which one gets the better open rate. Make sure you're tracking and measuring everything. If you can't measure it, it's not worth doing it. Tomorrow on the program, we will talk about book marketing strategy. How to grow your online book business. And really, tomorrow's show really transcends business in general. Growing online business. Check it out. God bless you. Make it a great rest of your Thursday. I love you very much. Thanks for being my friend. Please go out and love somebody today. We'll catch you on the flip side. Thanks for being my friend. Kelly.
Live from the Strategist Business Radio Studio. This has been the Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, comments, ideas, victories, and even your business's silliest business spoofs. We invite you to contact us anytime. If you'd like to share your business best practice strategy on an upcoming edition of the show with our global audience, email Tony at support@tjmarino.com. Be sure to make your way to the Hub and help yourself to all the fresh, relevant, and timely business strategy materials, including the complete radio archive library, by visiting and bookmarking tjmarino.com. If you would like Tony to set aside the time to review your present business strategy, send your request in care of support@tjmarino.com. We'll see you again Monday through Friday, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific, for our next raw and real intimate get-together on the Strategist Radio Live.